Securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group, LLC, a registered broker-dealer and investment advisor. Member FINRA, SIPC.
Good morning, southeastern Connecticut, eastern Long Island, and western Rhode Island. Hope everybody's doing well this morning. I got here about an hour yesterday to the Ledyard, Connecticut, to the Ledyard Fair, and I walked around, and it was like a slice of Americana, walking around, seeing the little kids on the kiddie rides. The junk food people weren't doing too well yet, but it's a little bit early in the morning for them. I saw some girls blowing off their cattle to make them clean for the show coming up, and it was just a beautiful morning in here in southeastern Connecticut. Unfortunately, our friends, neighbors, formerly neighbors, are down in Florida, are facing a lot of fear and trepidation with the storm coming in. It's my heartfelt sympathy for you. I hope everything, you come out of it okay. Please stick together. It's not too late. Try to get out if you can. But in any case, stick together. Watch out for your neighbors. If you have an elderly neighbor down there, check in on them. I know you're not, I know we're too far away to do any physical help to everybody else, but I'm sure there'll be a lot of damage afterwards, and we can go down and help out or send some aid. So whatnot. Hello, my name is Dennis O'Brien. I'm president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group in Mystic, Connecticut. We help people like yourselves of all ages prepare for, transition through, and invest in their retirement years. If you'd like to reach us today, please call the radio station line at 860-464-9490 for any questions you may have about retirement, investing, life in general, credit cards, college, any investment questions that you may have. Feel free to give me a call, because I enjoy speaking with everyone. I'm particularly interested in talking to retirees that are currently retired. I don't care if you're 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years old. The things you would have done differently. How retirement treated you. How was life when the phone stopped ringing and you were looking at your spouse now in those long evenings going, okay, what do we do now? And how that transition worked out for you. I'm also interested in learning more about how you budgeted differently as the years went on. As the years went on, did rising taxes, we talked about property taxes last week, food, put a crimp in your budget? Did you correctly account for health care costs? Health care costs, you know, are, I think, the thing that's really going to hurt people because when I first started in the business in 1980, people lived, you know, you got into your late 70s, you know, you were looking at nursing homes. Now the homes locally here, the assisted living facilities, are all telling me the average age of someone going in is 88 to 89 years old. I was stunned when I heard the number, but the people that do live are living much longer. They're much more active. They're healthier, and I have clients in their 90s that are sharp, walk 4, 5, 6 miles a day. They go down to Florida, they're rollerblading through the villages. Now, picture that. But this is, some of these retirees are in tremendous shape. Once a month I go to the chiropractor, Dr. Hutter, free plug for him. He's great, knows me, knows my bones intimately. And he was telling me a story about he had just had a 60-year-old in there. That's my age, too. And her husband is 78 years old, and he just went to his high school reunion. And he said her husband is the most active guy, skis, rides bikes, fishing, always on the go, go, in great shape. They went to the reunion, and they could not believe his classmates stooped over, large pot bellies, just having a tough time health-wise. A lot of them, it just, how people age is just fascinating to me, how different it is. My wife and I, we raised three sons. Cutter is now 33, Justin's 31, and Beau is 23, soon to be 24. And we became empty nesters in the last year. Beau finally launched successfully. I got a job in the city with an internet company. And we looked at each other and we said, listen, let's get going here. So every day I try to get out around 3 to 4 in the afternoon. I go in early. And I work Saturday some days, but I try to get out early afternoon, catch the sun, and we walk Mystic. We walk downtown. We might grab a bite. We get back, and we look 4, 5, 6 miles is on the little health gauge on the iPhone, and we're like, yeah, we feel better. And invariably, when we're out, we're socializing because we see people we've known for years, haven't seen for years, people we knew from Mystic Little League. How are you? How are the kids? Catch up. And we meet a lot of new people, too. A lot of people have moved into town. Mystic's an interesting town because, you know, we joke in Mystic. It's a drinking town with a fishing problem. And, you know, a lot of retirees move here. They move to Stonington. The boat people come in the summer, and it's a party central. And you can literally bar hop. My producer's shaking his head. Yeah, I've done that. You can literally bar hop to 10 to 12 different places, eat dinner, joke around, and as long as you have your designated driver, head on out. Or now, what do, my young man? You get on your phone and you do Uber, is it? Uber. Uber, yes. And don't think I'm not up on this stuff. Come on. But in any case, one of our premises at O'Brien Retirement is if you're going to retire successfully, and I don't care how much money you're talking about. I don't care if it's at 50, 60, 70, 80. I got 80-year-olds still working, and they're happy, but they control their work, and they don't have someone leaning over them telling them what to do every day. So usually they're in professions where they have something else going on. But the experience I've seen is that people who do the planning ahead of time, and you start at 25, I kid you not, and I'll tell you what to do when we get back after the break at 25, 35, 45, 55. You want to start planning ahead. Because I'll leave you with this. The people that come in to me that have $2 million in assets, they all want to plan. The people with 50,000 assets are like seat of the pants, and they didn't do any planning at all. So the people that plan are the ones that wind up with enough assets to do whatever they want. If they want to keep working, that's great. If they want to travel, if they work 6 months, they want to go down the floor, whatever they want to do, they have that freedom to do it because they plan. And I'm kind of like the instigator. I'm the one, the lightning. I'm trying to get you to get going, get organized, and get going early, because if you get going early, you'll have the choices and everything else. I saw a guy with a really obnoxious T-shirt on at the fair just now, and he was working with one of the cattle, and he said, I'm retired and you're not. Nah. It's something silly like that. It was the most obnoxious T-shirt I've ever seen. And I just laughed at it because I just went, you know, he probably worked in a job he couldn't wait to get out of, you know, and that's not everybody, but many people. So, and we'll talk about people that, you know, want to have choices later in life. Thank you. Dennis O'Brien, president of O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, Mystic, Connecticut. My phone number during the week is 860-415-9614. If you have a question or you need help with something, come out, give me a call. We'll sit down and talk about it. And you have no financial obligation if you choose to do that. You can also go to my website at www.obrienretire.com. On that website, there's something called the Retirement Ten Commandments. if you hit the button and give me your information, on Monday you'll have the Retirement Ten Commandments in a little computerized thing that you can take a look at. It'll really get you. I kind of put a lot of thought into them when I did them. They're just briefly one or two sentences each, but they do spur a lot of discussion and get you going. And it rehashes a lot of the points I talk about during the show here. The third thing is, anybody who wants it, it's a $500 value, but if you call in on this show, you can get a free 18-page cash flow report. I call it Retirement in a Nutshell. It takes me a couple hours to put it together, and I need to sit down and ask you a bunch of questions. But the Retirement in a Nutshell cash flow plan was developed by a broker out in California. He hired a programmer, and they went through, and it's the most efficient thing I've ever seen in terms of being able to plan 35 years out. You give the year, and I'll put the numbers in. It's really neat. And not only that, it'll give you suggested allocations that you should have and how successful it'll be based on the allocations you used, which I haven't seen anywhere else. So feel free, www.obrienretired.com, Retirement Nutshell, free plan for anybody who decides to do it. You have no obligation. You do not have to open an account with me. You can use me all you want. And how often do you hear that? Come on. In any case, let's talk about some of the retirees I run into in my day-to-day, running my business. All right, the first group I want to talk about is the people who have worked heavy manual labor, and they have a more pressing need to retire. Their bodies are breaking down at 60, 62, 64. Oh, that was my dad. He was a pressman for the New York Times. By the time he was 65, it wasn't easy for him to get going and work on those big rolls and those big machines. He was in the union for 40 years, worked his butt off, raised six kids. He was a good man, and we lost him in 2011 at the ripe old age of 87. We really didn't know how old he was because he was born in Ireland, and he told us he was certain age, but I didn't believe him for some reason. I went to the county courthouse. It had burned down in the 40s, so the son of a gun secret was safe. But eventually we found out, and he passed away at 87. But I could see the men that come in, they have their own companies. They may have lawn care. They may be plumbers, electricians. They've done manual labor. They build walls, granite walls. Some of them are extremely well financially, but the bodies, they're breaking down. They're 62, 63, and it's hard. One guy told me that he works as a carpenter, has his own carpentry firm, and he says he gets two massages a week, and it keeps him going. So, when you talk to people, whatever it takes, whatever you want to do, but I do, for them, it's more like, I want to take Social Security at 62, and say their normal retirement age is 66, based on the year they were born, they're going to take a 30% cut, to take it at 62, but it's not an issue for them, because usually they've thought ahead in terms of what they do, they don't live an extravagant lifestyle, and they're tired and they want to take it early. And frankly, I don't blame with them. Also in that group is the group that gets sick. And, that's a sizable subsection of people that, they get cancer. They might have their first heart attack in the 50s and they're not feeling it. They're not feeling good and they need to take it early, So, a lot of people also think they're going to die young. And so they take it early also. So they estimate over 50%. People, if you go to Social Security to start asking questions, they have no problem signing you right up. And so if you were supposed to get $2,000 a month at 66, you're only going to get like, $1,300-$1,400 a month or whatever the number is at that time. If your normal age is 66, then you get your, whatever it is, $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 a month, whatever, based on your pay. You can go to socialsecurity.gov, I think the site is. And if you want to plug in, get your statement, take a look at it. It'll give you all your earnings history, what you would get at 62, your normal retirement age, 65 to 67 right now, and then the maximum amount, which would be at 70. At 70, you got to start to take it. You can't put it off anymore. They're not going to give you any more, so why would you wait? And I've had some people wait till 70 because they don't have a pension plan. they thought, you know, they were maybe highly compensated, so they're going to get $3,600 at 70 years old. And the wife didn't work, so maybe she worked when she was younger. She's only going to get $800 or $1,000. But when he passes or she passes, the higher compensated ones, the remaining spouse is going to get that amount. So that becomes kind of their pension plan. So a lot of people will wait till 70 if they don't have a heavy manual beating up their bodies, if they have longevity in their family. You know, a lot of things go in, you know. I mean, I've seen people start at 62 and keel over at 63. I mean, I've seen some pretty amazing stories, but I got a really good story for you. It's a true story. It happened last, I think, probably 6 weeks ago in New York City. And, it was a good friend, Ed, and, Ed's 65, still working, loves what he's doing, works in Midtown Manhattan, lives in Fairfield County. Ed, as a child, you know, had some heart issues. So he had his mother was very protective of him, but he grew into this tall, handsome, lean, extremely bright man. And, he did very, very well, worked hard and everything else. Well, Ed went in for a colonoscopy about, I think it was March or April, and they found, some cancer cells, and, they told him, you know, you need to go on chemo. And so, you know, I was like, Ed, you know, I'm not sure chemo, you know, you've had heart issues, you got to be careful, you know, whatnot. But he decided, no, he's going to do it, you know, because he has a teenage girl, daughter, and, he wanted to do it. So he went on chemo and he went through it, and boy, it took him for a loop. This healthy, vital guy just, you know, throwing up, sick as a dog. You know, he'd get it on Wednesday and he couldn't go back to work till Monday. It was really, really knocked him for a loop. And so, so we did the chemo and whatnot. So one day he's trying to catch the 5 o'clock, Metro North out of Grand Central. He sits between two people on the first or second car. And as he sits down, he had to run for the train. As he goes to sit down, he leans forward. Gone. The guy next to him stands up, screams, "We need a doctor fast!" Right now, here's the freaky part. Okay, not one but three world-known cardiologists were on that train car that day. Yeah, very, very weird. They take Ed, they pull him down in the passenger row, and bear in mind the train is half a mile out of the station. Somebody hits the stop thing. The train jerks to a stop. Everybody screams. They yell for a doctor. Three world-known cardiologists jump up, run to Ed's aid, right? The conductor comes running in. They're pulling off his shirt, his tie, everything else. And they start working on him. And there's three of them, okay? The train starts backing into Grand Central. People are screaming. The cardiologists are pumping his chest constantly. Somebody screams out, "Give him air to air, mouth to mouth." Cardiologist that's not working on him turns to the person and goes, "No, you do not give mouth to mouth. This is a blood issue. You have to keep the blood and the brain and everything moving. Because when we get back in the station, they're going to defib him, okay? But we have to keep the blood moving. You don't revive someone that's clinically dead." And he was clinically dead for 15 to 20 minutes. The cardiologist took turns pumping his chest, which isn't easy to do. It's very hard to do. The train's still backing into the station. People are gathered around. The cardiologists are taking turns. All right. Finally, the train gets back in. They rush in from Cornell Medical Center. They put him on the gurney and they defrib him. And wouldn't you know it, Ed comes back. Ed comes back to life. He said he woke up on the platform. Now, he's been out almost 18, 19 minutes, dead to the world. And they take him to Cornell, and they work on him. The next day, one of the cardiologists came in and said, not only less than 2% come back from being clinically dead for that long a time, but the fact you came back without brain damage is a miracle. It does not happen. So when I got word, I had been walking, and Laurie had been doing something else. She pulls up on Allen Street, screams to me, "Ed had a heart attack." I get down on my knees and pray, you know. And And for some reason, this man came all the way back. And it's just an amazing story because 4 weeks later, he's in Budapest at the wedding I spoke about last week. When my son got married, he came. And I look at him. He looks at me and he goes, it's hard to kill an Irishman. That's all he said. You know, it's just hard to kill him, you know. So life is funny. Ed Vital, 65, clinically dead. Of course, I had to ask him, did you see the bright light? Did you see anything and everything else? He goes, no. He goes, I don't remember anything. He goes, 1 minute I was there. The next minute I was on a gurney in Grand Central being wheeled up, taken up through elevator, and he goes, and they got from Grand Central to Cornell Medical Center during rush hour, 5:30, 6 o'clock at night in 6 minutes. And then they did everything else they needed to. So, you know, Ed's a lucky, lucky man. Those cardiologists hadn't been there. He had been walking to the parking lot at his town in Fairfield County. Any of those other things that happened, Ed wouldn't be with us. So I'm telling you, life is very precious. You just don't know what's going to happen. And the reason for me just telling your story is it just affected me so much that I thought it was very, very important to talk about. So if you want to retire and you want to go do whatever you want to do, then go do it. If you love to work or you like what you do and it's part of what you like, that hustle and bustle and everything else, do that. Do whatever you want to do. But at the same time, enjoy every minute of your life because tomorrow is promised to no man or woman, and we want you here for the long term. Thank you. Dennis O'Brien from O'Brien Retirement. The mic was 3 feet to the left, and my producer's still here laughing at me. In any case, thank you for listening to my story about my friend Ed and what happened to him. I want to tell you, you know, I started in the business in 1980, and I was working for Oppenheimer and Company. And the first time I ever heard of something called a 401k, what is that? Where'd it come from? How long has it been around? And why does everybody talk about it at cocktail parties? What is the deal here? And I remember the first time I heard about it, I was a young associate at Oppenheimer in the municipal bond department. Our HR person who worked down the hall was very, very pretty. So obviously my young associates and I became absolutely fascinated with the ins and outs of H&R work. Yeah, right. My friend Terry, though, was really taken with this girl, and he was afraid to go down there to talk to her by himself. So I'd go down with him and stuff like that. And we became friendly with her. She was a very nice young lady. But she was telling us, I said, what are you working on? She says, well, she goes, there's this new thing. This is 1982, 83, whenever it was. She says, there's this new retirement plan that I'm recommending to management to take up for the Oppenheimer employees. And I go, what's it called? She goes, 401k. And I go, what does that mean? She goes, apparently there's a section in the IRS code that very quietly came out serendipitously in the late 1970s that had this little section 401k. And it said that employers could allow employees to defer money pre-tax. And that's the key word in the whole sentence is pre-tax. So if you were making $30,000 a year, you could take $3,000 of that, pre-tax it out, and on your W-2, it would only show $27,000. And so you didn't pay tax on that $3,000, and it deferred and deferred. She said also that in the next year or two, they think they'll allow matching. So not only will you be able to match, put away 3, 4, 5, 6%, you'll be able to, the employer will match it. You immediately make 100% on your money, and it defers and whatnot. Well, needless to say, in 1982 is a very tiny industry, and now it's literally trillions of dollars in these plans. And it makes up, after the home, probably the largest portion of everybody's net worth that have put money away in these things. But it's forced everybody to become their own little portfolio manager, most of which most people don't have the inclination nor the interest nor the ability to do, nor the time. You know, not saying they don't have the ability, but, you know, they got a lot of other things they're doing in life, and they don't want to be their own tax manager. They don't want to be their own portfolio manager. So, at this point in time, you know, 401ks is as American as apple pie. People discuss them at cocktail parties. And, in 2008, it became a source of national dismay when everybody's 401k went down 20, 30, 40%, depending on how aggressive they were. But what are the common mistakes people make? Who should have one? Questions like that we can talk about and discuss a little bit more. 401ks are interesting in that if you change jobs, and most people, most of these millennials especially, are going to work 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 12 jobs. I don't know. You know, I don't think the world's the same as it used to be where they hung in there because of the pension, because most of these companies don't have pensions. So they're going to move around a lot. So it's going to be up to them to have their 401ks tracked after they leave. And like I've mentioned, I've had people come in with 6, 7, 8 different 401ks, wanting to consolidate them as they got closer to retirement. One of the problems is when you have, many different 401ks, it's very hard to track. Because one may be with one insurance company, another may be with another mutual fund company. The rules are all different. You know, depending on the employer, getting the money out is different. It's very, 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 become very challenging, almost overwhelming to keep track of the passwords. Passwords, don't even get me started. It's almost impossible to keep track of them now. So, and then when tax season comes, it gets very, very interesting because, you know, as you collect your various W-2s and your 1099s, it becomes pretty apparent that reducing the number of providers and having consolidated statements is a big help. You know, reducing the time it takes you or your CPA enrolled agent to prepare your tax return. You know, special importance are these various IRAs and 401ks still at separate custodians. And it gets a little tricky too. And I'll tell you a story, just a real quick one. My friend, she's up in Burlington, Vermont. She calls me up. She says her dad passed away. This happened maybe 2-3 weeks ago. And she said her dad passed away, had about $150,000 in his, IRA. And he was in his 80s, and he was obviously taking his RMD, the required minimum distribution. You have to start taking at 70 and a half. So she said, I want my portions, me and my brother are going to get the bennies. I want my portion to go to my IRA with you. And I looked, I didn't look at her, but I looked and said, no, you can't do that. She goes, why not? I go, you're not the spouse. Only the spouse can do a direct transfer to the, to the other spouse upon death, and you can do a direct transfer and everything else. She goes, well, so what happens? I go, whoever the custodian is, the broker, the financial guy up in Burlington, wherever he dealt with, do you want to deal with him? She goes, no, my brother and I don't like him. I said, okay, it's good for me. So we had a chuckle, and I said, listen, but this is what I urge you to do. I go, because you're the child, you're going to have to open up something we call an inherited IRA or beneficiary IRA. They're really kind of the same thing. And basically what happens is it's better to do it under the same custodians because they have the paperwork and they'll do all the transfers internally. So have you and your brother open up beneficiary inherited IRAs, have everything switched over to those accounts, okay? And when you get your first statement, call me. And she goes, you'll transfer it to my IRA? No, I can't transfer it to your IRA. You'll have a separate beneficiary IRA with me. And you're going to have to take RMDs on the inherited your life now on that, no matter how old you are. You have to start doing required minimum distributions because one of the things IRS says is, we'll allow you to take this tax-deferred money and switch it over to this tax-deferred pile, but we're going to make you declare some of it as income so we get some of ours. So it's not a bad deal. It's actually a very, very good deal. But you cannot transfer one IRA to another IRA unless it's a spouse. And 2 months before, I had a man die, and his wife's IRA, all his IRA money went over to her, her IRA immediately. No problems there. Didn't have to deal with a beneficiary or inherited IRA. So bear in mind, it's generational with IRAs upon death, and it works a little bit differently. So feel free to call in. That number is 860-464-9490. And since you all use cell phones, you Long Island people, just dial the 860 number. It won't cost you any more money than that. You have any questions for me or want to contact me during the week? My name is Dennis O'Brien, President O'Brien Retirement Investment Group, www.obrienretire.com. You can request your retirement in a nutshell cash flow plan, or just request automated. Just go in there and give me your information. Click the button that says Retirement 10 Commandments, and we will send you the PowerPoint on the Retirement 10 Commandments, and we can talk about that. Last week we talked about debt. After the number one thing in the Retirement 10 Commandments is do a retirement in a nutshell plan. Do a cash flow plan and see where you're at. Maybe you can't retire. Maybe you can. Maybe you're going to have to downsize your house, but you'll get these discussions going. The second thing right away, the second commandment is have no debt. And I'm going to hammer that home every week I talk to you lovely people out there, because that is the biggest determinant. And I told a story about the state employee that wanted to retire, but they had a big mortgage on their house. And the plan was 57 to 63 in the second job, we're going to pay that mortgage down. And then they can move to South Carolina, wherever they want to go, or, you know, whatnot. A lot of people are planning to leave the state upon retirement. And we talked about last week, we talked about the high cost of living in Connecticut, and I think specifically it's the property taxes, and they're very, very high and whatnot. And the next segment, I am going to tell you what I would do if I was governor of Connecticut in terms of changing the property tax structure in the state, so that we don't have one municipality at 11 mills and another one at 78 mills, which is absolutely crazy. So we'll talk about that also. And I also want to talk about the 2008-09 crash. Can it happen again? I want to talk about the Big Short movie. I don't know if anybody has seen you. We won't have time to talk about Hartford and its potential to go into bankruptcy, but I'd like to talk about the danger of buying bonds individually, and we'll talk about that also. I have a good story about Texaco back in the day. You may remember that name. I think they've been bought out since. I haven't seen it. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye now. Pulled the mic in front of me just in time as my producer's going, good job. I want to tell you a story. When I first started working as a young rookie on Wall Street, and you can't make it. It goes under the title, you really just can't make this up. I worked at One New York Plaza, and One New York Plaza is the building in the Towering Inferno. If you see it burning and you see the old Towering Inferno movie that came out in the early 70s, they used a mock-up of One New York Plaza to do it. And on the 30s to the 40s was Goldman Sachs, and Oppenheimer had the 20s and probably part of the teens. So it'd be funny going in the elevator and everybody was like together, and everybody would like look at each other and don't say anything because they may hear you because they're on a different trading desk. It was silly, but you know, I was a young kid. I was 25 years old, first job, excited, had my two suits, running into the office and everything else. So my first or second day on the job, they put me in this office. And it was one of these desks where I had my little cubicle, and then there was a bookcase and another cubicle next to me. But since we were rookies and not worth anything to anybody at the time there was a little Quotron machines, and they would swivel back and forth between me and Ross, the other rookie. And I can only see Ross's fingertips, the little gap opening out of the bookcase and stuff like that. Now, Ross, after the first day, I was like, Well, I'll give them a week, but if I ever met a louder or obnoxious person in my life, he's right up there in the top three, no matter who I meet. He was something else, and it wasn't my cup of tea, but I figured, maybe I'm overreacting, blah, blah, blah. So I figured, now what not? The second day on the job, I come into the office. It's like 20 of 9, and Ross is screaming into the telephone about some stock he had bought for some lady. I didn't know what he was talking about. And screaming for 15 to 20 minutes at the top of his lungs. I'm not even awake yet. Screaming at the top of his lungs. Oh, I know. The stock will go back up. Don't worry. I know. Going on and on and on. The lady was screaming, and then he was screaming back into the phone. I was like, my God, I would never scream at a client. What is this? What's going on here? And then after 15 to 20 minutes, I hear a silence for 10 or 15 seconds, and I go, oh, thank God. And very quietly, at the end of the phone call, I hear Ross say, love you too, Mom. Talk to you next week. Bye. And he hangs up the phone. And I looked over at him, and I went, so, how are Thanksgiving dinners at your house? And he gave me one of those, screw you looks, like that. So I went into my manager. I said, you got to move me. I just knew that this was not going to work out, because sooner or later I'd kill the guy, I just couldn't deal with it. One of the things I want to talk about, we didn't talk about last week, was putting portfolios together. Last week I talked about targeting a 3% payout, 6% payout, and 9% payout on risk portfolios, low risk, medium risk, and higher risk for the retirees. And I also talked about the second part of the portfolios for my younger people, especially, are the millennium stocks, buy companies that are just going to dominate in the next 10, 20, 30 years. Some people feel like it's going to be Google and Facebook and Apple and companies like that. And I don't doubt it. I just think you're going to see some dominant players in these industries. And even if they correct 20, 30, 40%, you got to keep buying them, because they're not going anywhere. And they buy up any competitors that come along that they think is a risk to their dominance. And so we talked about that a little bit and whatnot. And if you're a millennium, if you're 25 to 35 years old, you got to start buying these. I just think you got to own them for the next. And I'm not talking about trading. I'm talking about owning a business, because these businesses, we've never seen anything like it. I think they're going to dominate. The third part of the portfolios is what I call tactical. And tactical is basically, this has gotten killed enough. I think it's going to go back up 50% in the next year. I want to buy some for you. And that's tactical. Now, how I approach tactical is very, very interesting. I use a software package called VectorVest. You can get it off the shelf, $59 a month. I think it's $59 a month. It has all 8,000 stocks on it. It has all ETFs. It has every mathematical function that you would ever want on a stock. The problem is you don't have the information. The problem is it takes you about 5 years to learn the program and how to utilize it in the way that works for you. And it took me about 5 years to use it. And when I pressed the tactical portion, I decided that I would look at ETFs, which are just indexes. So the largest, I don't want to misspeak, but one of the largest is iShares, run by BlackRock. And iShares have maybe 250, 240 different industry groups, countries, general stock market indexes in them. What VectorVest does for me very, very well, very efficiently, with no emotion, is they give me the best that's been the strongest, the most popular, okay? And then they give me the dogs. At the bottom of the list are the ones that have been the weakest. Nobody likes them. They're unloved. People kick them as they go down the street. They just don't love them anymore. And when I look at tactical, I am always interested in seeing who went from being the favorite everybody's talking about in the media to who's the dog, and people throw up when they hear the name or the industry group. And so last year, about a year and a half ago, I'll give an example of what happens here, okay? There was an index called the biopharmaceutical index. IBB was a symbol, and I was watching it. and had compounding at 20% a year for years, and was, you know, had bought it and everything else. Got up to 400 a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago. Hillary put out a tweet about evil drug prices and drug companies, evil drug companies and the prices and blah, blah, blah. And that index starts going down, 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 because at the time, a year and a half ago, everybody thought Hillary was going to be the next president. You know, find me someone who didn't. Well, everybody on Wall Street thought she was, for sure. So the index goes from 400 down to 250 after going up for multiple years. So it went from the top of the ETF iShares index popularity chart to the lowest. And it hit the 245-250, the index. And remember, this is hundreds of biopharmaceutical companies, okay? And this index hit 245-250, down from 400, two, three, four, five times, all right? And then about a few months ago, around 270-280, it gave a buy signal, first one in a year and a half. And I saw it starting to rise off the dogs, and I said, I don't know if they're in love with Trump on that whole pharmaceutical prices, but they're starting to get brave. And then there were some developments where some of the companies were starting to come out with breakthroughs in cystic fibrosis. There was a lot of breakthroughs coming through, and all of a sudden that index started gaining momentum. And I had started buying it just because I thought the industry wasn't going anywhere. I thought, number two, it was pretty washed out. And tactically, the people that allow me to take a tactical position in their portfolios, I wanted to own it. And, it's in the 330, 340 range right now and climbing back up to 400. So the people that bought it in the 260s, 270s, 280s, they're getting a little extra oomph in the portfolios. And I have no idea where it's going. All I know is when it's washed out and beaten up. So that was an example of a tactical position where, from time to time, if everything falls in line, and the other thing I do, and a lot of people, this is a little technical, so I'll just go real quick over it. I won't buy anything in that area, in the tactical area, until the daily, the 50-day, and the 200-day moving averages. Those are the three amigos, and you gotta watch them. And the daily jumps around the most. 50-day moves around a little bit less because it's the last 50 days averages in each price point. And the 200-day is the slowest. But when the 200-day starts to move up, the 50-day goes through that, and the daily goes through that, you could lose money, but you've taken a lot of the risk out of it. And chances are, my 37 years, you're gonna make some money. You know, the odds, you've raised the odds greatly in your favor if you've seen these things happen. So in the tactical side, I'll never buy anything unless the moving averages support what's going on and stuff like that. Some people like to do it on their own. Great, you know, but most people, they want some help with somebody keeping an eye on things, go whispering in their ear going, hey, take a look at that. About 2 months ago, I started getting excited about the regional banks. They were starting to give those buy signals too. And then last month, I'm starting to get excited about natural gas and oil and gas indexes. They've been creamed. Everybody hates their guts. Oil has been down, down, down. Natural gas has been down, down, down. Houston hasn't helped, you know, with the flooding there and everything else. But I got a feeling that those dogs are going to be barking again, and get ready. You know, and I think you got to get in early. I think you got to be, you know, 3-6 months early, because when the big boys decide, the Fidelities, the Vanguards, the big mutual fund companies and the money managers out there, the big pension players, they decide to get into an area, they'll move at 20% in a week, and you'll just like, I knew that was going to move. And of course you can't get it in time. So the tactical area is interesting, and from time to time, never know. I'm constantly looking at the Vector Vest and the relative strengths and seeing who's been a darling and now who's a dog, and then going from there. But this is all to help your portfolio grow and take as little risk as possible. This is actually, I think, less risk than buying the millenniums or buying the income, because you're buying things that everybody hates already, and it might give you an extra little oomph in the portfolio. So if you have any questions on that, you can contact me during the week at 860-415-9614 or www.obrienretire.com. If you have any questions coming into our next segment, please give me a ring here at the radio station at 860-464-9490. I've practically memorized that phone number. The next section, the final section before after commercial break, we're going to talk about bonds and buying Hartford bonds. What's that? Oh, this is the end of the show. I'm so excited. He just told me this is the end of the show. So next week, we're going to talk about buying bonds individually and what's going on with Hartford and buying municipal bonds and whatnot. And so I want to thank you all. Have a great, great week. And give me a call if you have any questions on anything. Bye-bye now.
Securities and advisory services through Independent Financial Group. Member FINRA, SIPC.